Big corporations are increasingly embracing so-called executive health programs in a bid to keep their high-performing employees healthy. And these can cost up to $25,000 per person per year, apparently. But according to a new study out of the US, some of the tests on offer under these programs could be dangerous. Norman Swan is the host of the Health Report here on RN. Dr. Swan, hello. Welcome back to Breakfast.
Hello, Ms. Kelly.
What happens in these executive health programs? $25,000 per person per year is a lot of money.
That's a US price. So it varies a lot. So sometimes it can be an extensive interview with a doctor about your lifestyle, your smoking, how much exercise you're getting, your nutrition and so on. But then it usually involves a lot of tests. So blood tests, scans, CTs of the heart, exercise stress tests, ECGs, and so on. And of course, people find these very comforting because it's going to save my life. They're going to find I've got cancer. They're going to find I've got heart disease. And isn't this absolutely fantastic? When in fact, there is considerable risk attached to this. So a professor of cardiology at Washington University in St. Louis, who obviously has got some sort of, he's on some data list. He keeps on getting bombarded asking him to participate in these executive programs. So he, with his team, did a survey of the top 25 cardiology hospitals in the United States. The US today does a rating of hospitals in the United States. So the top 25, asking them, did they provide such programs? And if they did, what was in them? Mm. And what they found was that about 18 out of the 25 did, in fact, provide these executive health programs. The top price was $25,000. It varied a lot according to how many tests that you got. And then they found out what tests they did and compared them to what official societies like the Cardiology Society and others, Heart Foundations, recommended for screening and testing for heart disease. And none of these tests were in the guidelines.
Right.
So these were completely non-evidence-based tests.
So just made up over-testing.
Absolutely over-testing. And you'd say, well, what does it matter?
Does it matter if they want to waste their money on this to make their executives feel good?
Well, yes, it does. Because when you do some of these tests, you find out stuff that actually doesn't mean anything, but that forces your hand to do other tests. So an ECG, for example, there's almost no value in a resting ECG if you've got no symptoms. There's certainly no value in a stress ECG, even if you have got symptoms. And they were doing stress nuclear scans. So they find a little abnormality and say, oh, I've got to find out there more. And you'll have a CAT scan, then you might have a cardiac catheter, or they might find a nodule on your lung, and then they've got to go in and have a look at the nodule on your lung. You're on the
treadmill.
Which
potentially could be dangerous, couldn't it?
Of course it could.
Going in, so to speak.
As soon as you go in, you can cause infection, you can cause rupture of vessels or what have you. And the risk is worth it if you've got symptoms and you need to know what's going on. But if you've got no symptoms, you're otherwise healthy, you could be in a worse off position.
Do we have these sort of programs here?
Yeah, we do. Probably not quite as fancy as the United States, but they can be quite expensive, and people are doing the tests. People believe that there is value to the annual checkup, and they go along to the GP for an annual checkup. There is no value to the annual checkup. There's absolutely no value. There is if you're in a high-risk group like Aboriginal people and Torres Strait Islanders, where you can find out early signs that you're heading towards heart problems. But that's very different from an otherwise healthy population. And yes, people are having unnecessary tests like ECGs and others, and they're putting themselves at risk by doing it.
Is there a difference, though, from the list of tests you just said that you can get in these American cardiology hospitals to the annual checkup? I mean, if you go to a GP for an annual checkup, isn't that just checking your blood pressure and...
So what's the most important thing here? Having your own GP. Having your GP, not going to one of these corporate clinics where you don't know who you're going to see.
Which is hard because it's nearly all corporate clinics now, isn't it?
Well, even if you're going to go to one of these corporate clinics, and some of them are actually quite good, you can still have your own GP, and that's what you should request. Who knows your history, knows your family history, and opportunistically, when you turn up for something else, actually does, you haven't seen you for a year or two, let's check your blood pressure. You're 40 years old now, let's check your cholesterol. It's worth knowing at the beginning of each decade of your life what your blood pressure is, what your cholesterol is, and also the GP understanding what your family history is. So if you've got a family history of early heart disease, early cancer and so on, that puts you in a very different category from somebody who's otherwise healthy. And it's your GP who knows that story and does the testing as you need it, rather than just, I'm fine, I just think I need an annual checkup. No value, some risk.
Okay. Just finally, speaking of tests, you've got a story tonight too about a change in the way of doing a biopsy for prostate cancer.
Yeah, so this is changing. Highly controversial PSA tests that men are having, these blood tests, which when they're high might suggest that you've got cancer. They're very bad tests. But then urologists have been jumping in doing biopsies, and they do biopsies through the rectum. And there's a proportion of men who get septicemia and get really ill and sometimes die.
From the biopsy.
From the biopsy. And the biopsy is often unnecessary. There's two things that happen now. One is MRI scans of the prostate, which tell you whether you need a biopsy or not. And secondly, instead of doing a biopsy, this is the story tonight, through the rectum, you actually do it in the skin between the scrotum and the anus. And that is much cleaner and has lower side effects.
So the blokes listening, do a test, do agree to a biopsy? Or?
Well, only do a PSA test if you really understand the risks versus benefits. But if you do and you need a biopsy, that requires further conversation about further testing. And don't let anybody do a biopsy through the rectum.
Okay, Norman, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Norman Swan, host of The Health Report. Hear more about these stories here on RN with Norman at 5:30. Of course, anytime, catch up on the ABC Listen app.